Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I apologize if I'm quiet. My kids are sleeping, and I don't want to wake them up quite yet. So welcome back to our first episode of Unscripted, Unrehearsed. You know, we're just flying by the seat of our pants here with my dramatic reading of the book Displaced. I had started this a few months back. I got very, very sidetracked, and then I ended up doing a ton of edits on the book. And so I figure I'll just re-record, and we'll start over again, and we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping to get some guests here, like guest readers and all that stuff. And you know, if you're listening to this on like a podcast or something like that, my goal is to have the whole book up on podcast. That way you can have an audio version of the book instead of, you know, if you prefer audio over, you know, print or ebook type of thing, which is the real purpose of this show, is to provide audio copies of books for people and for authors who can't necessarily afford to put out audiobooks themselves. And yeah, with that, we'll start reading, and I'll go for as long as I can, and we'll see how it goes. All right, so Displaced by J.F. Jenkins. Chevelle. Timber Hudson and Chevelle Donahue stared at one another in a mixture of shock, confusion, and fear. She imagined she was making the exact mirror image of his face, jaw dropped, eyes wide, and with a slight quiver of the lip. Tears threatened to surge to her eyes. Somehow, she kept them at bay, though she wasn't quite sure why. There was no reason for her to keep a strong composure. After all, she'd just gotten the worst news of her life, and that was saying a lot given the events of the past month. Without a word, she pulled herself free from Timber's arms. Perhaps he still needed consoling, but if that were the case, he would have to find it elsewhere. Being near him only broke her heart more. Chevelle needed space, air, something that was hard to find on an intergalactic spaceship. She went back to the office of their apartment and tore it apart until she found a notebook. Grabbing a pen, she sat in a corner and proceeded to empty herself onto the pages. 1. Chevelle. I want to say it's a Thursday in the middle of January. I'm not sure exactly because I haven't seen a calendar since the end of October. The one we kept in the apartment ran out, and all the others have been destroyed in an effort to make sure all of us poor, inferior humans submit to the ways of the Aquaman. We were able to draw one on our bathroom wall. It's small, but it does the job. It took some time, but I think I'm finally able to accurately document everything that's happened in the past 3 months. For a while, I wasn't sure if I'd ever be ready. I've seen things I wish I could forget, and as much as I want to just go along with the way of these aliens, I can't. Letting go of my past life is not easy, and I'm terrified of forgetting it. Someday, the human race will be free from captivity, and when that day comes, they'll need to know what happened and how life used to be. They'll need to know that our species was once part of a thriving civilization. That's why I'm writing this. I remember the day the Aquavans came vividly. It was warm, which was something to cherish in late October in Minnesota. The weather there was always so temperamental, like Mother Nature at PMS. One day it'd be gorgeous, and the next there would be 3 feet of snow. It didn't matter if it was the middle of July. That day, I want to say, it was around 60 degrees, jeans and a sweatshirt kind of weather. Like most days before I had to open at work, I didn't sleep the best the night before. Something about the anticipation of having to wake up with my alarm clock always messed with my ability to relax. I had the same problem during school, too. Anytime I had to wake up before my body actually wanted to, messed with my head. I don't think I need to elaborate how going to bed at 2 in the morning on a regular basis didn't make for waking up at a time before 11 often. It all comes with being a night owl. At school, I had the ability to schedule my classes around that. Work, on the other hand, left me at the mercy of my manager, because I needed the money, badly, opening was something I had to suck up and deal with. The store opened at 10, so it wasn't like I had to get up at some ungodly hour in the morning or anything. Like the morning of the attack, or still the morning of the attack, I was having a hard time wanting to get out of bed. I groaned several times and opted out of taking a shower just for the extra half an hour of sleep. My alarm went off on my cell phone one last time. If I hit the snooze button and stayed in bed, I'd be on the chopping block at work. The 50 cents over minimum wage that I got an hour was almost enough for me to say screw it and stay in bed. Unfortunately, it was still more money than I had in my bank account. As if he could read my mind, my chihuahua, Burrito, jumped up onto my chest and started to lick my face until I couldn't breathe. Dog breath filled my nostrils, slobber covered my mouth and nose, and tiny paws scratched my neck and shoulders. Okay, I'm awake, I'm awake. I carefully picked Burrito up and put him next to me. Then I reluctantly got out of my warm, cozy bed. Getting dressed took all of 5 minutes since I threw on my jeans from the day before, which were still laying on the floor, my Navy Toy Tech t-shirt that I needed for work, the first pair of socks and the necessary undergarments I could find in my top dresser drawer, and my amazingly comfortable work shoes. All that was left to do was pull my long, straight, boring, dark hair back into a ponytail. I was halfway up the stairs when my mom called down to me, "Cheval, if you don't get up here soon, you're going to be late. Breakfast is ready for you." "I'm right here, relax," I said, meeting her at the top of the steps. "You cooked?" "Wait, of course you cooked. You're always cooking." "Someone has to make sure you're eating right. I figured you'd be thanking me so you didn't have to eat all of that cafeteria college food." Mom threw up her hands and shook her head. "All right, honey, I can take a hand. You're an adult now, and you don't need me to baby you." I gave her a big hug. "Baby me all you want. I just don't have a lot of time to eat a big breakfast. Like you said, I'm going to be late. Besides, do the words freshman 15 mean anything to you?" She laughed. "If you've gained 15 pounds already, you're hiding it well." Truth was, I'd gained 5 pounds. Pounds should not be such a chore to get on. Would my mother have understood this? Over time, but not until I lost control of my weight gain and it became painfully obvious it was there. I didn't want things to get that bad, and like most American teenage girls, I believed I already needed to lose 10 pounds as it was just to feel good about myself. Ignoring her comment, I took a cold toaster pastry from out of the box and rushed to grab my purse and hoodie from school. "I'll be back for dinner. Love you," I called out before I headed out the door. Those were the last words I spoke to my mother. The mall I worked at was big. No, huge. Then again, it was the biggest mall in America at the time. With an amusement park in the center and an aquarium underneath, it was near impossible to be bored with for the sake of people watching alone. It was also a pain in the butt to work there. Let me tell you, during the slow season, it was slow. The store would get 2 customers an hour if we were lucky, and fighting for hours was like being in a death match inside of a steel cage. All of the employees wanted to work, but there wasn't much to go around. On the flip side, the busy season was essentially a nightmare on earth. Finding parking was the pits. Nobody knew where they were going. There were a lot more tourists, and everyone was crabby. Fall was part of the slow season, so I was fully prepared for a long Saturday afternoon doing homework behind the counter. I hung up my coat and clocked in, taking the time to see who I'd be hanging out with for the day. "Hopefully it's someone who will let me work in peace," I mumbled as I flipped through the calendar on the back wall of the employee's room. A loud groan comes from out of me when I read the name on the sheet. "Wiccan." "That's my name. Don't wear it out," he said as he walked behind me to punch in on the computer. "I don't know if I should be insulted or not, because I thought you'd miss me after all the fun we had this summer." I rolled my eyes. "Yes, listening to you gab on about your conquest for 20 hours a week is my idea of a great summer vacation." I detect sarcasm in your tone, and I realize that's only because you're jealous but won't admit to it. He walked by me again on his way out to the main floor of the store. As he passed me, he placed a hand on the small of my back to signal just how close he was to me. This wasn't anything out of the ordinary. In fact, it happened all the time. Everyone in the store did it at one point in time or another because it was a common courtesy to help prevent accidents. But I didn't like it when Wiccan touched me. Or rather, I liked it, but I didn't like that I liked it. Arrogance has always been a huge turnoff for me, but when he wasn't being a cocky doorknob, Wiccan was tolerable, enjoyable even. Those were the moments where I thought about him as potential boyfriend material. Then he opened his mouth and reminded me why he was on my list of people to avoid. With a huff, I followed him out to the floor. "I call register." "Are you going to read the whole time again?" He unlocked the store and lifted the gate. Not like there was anyone waiting to get in. I nodded at him. I have 100 pages of Asian theology to read by Monday. It's not easy, so it takes 5 times as long as a normal book. What the heck am I supposed to do while you're reading? Dust, organize, plan on your phone, I don't care. I pulled up my textbook and placed it discreetly on the counter. He put out a few cardboard displays and set up some of the toys near the gate to demo before joining me behind the counter. What is a bodhisattva? I don't know, I mumbled. Can you please not read over my shoulder? Come on, tell me about school. You were so excited to go in August. Is it living up to your expectations? I need to live vicariously through you. Wicken pushed my book off to the side. His fingers tapped on the cheap wood countertop surrounding the registers. I turned to face him and shrugged. It's a lot harder than I was expecting it to be. My roommate goes to bed at 10, so I have to spend a lot of my night not in my room. Someone messed up my load of laundry, so I have a bunch of teal undershirts now, and I got stuck taking a lot of classes that are filled with seniors and juniors. Then as an afterthought, I added. The food is good. No crazy parties or boys, he asked. Nope, I shook my head. I'm sure that's a huge disappointment. Actually, it's a relief. I glanced at him and noticed he had a rather strange expression on his face. His hazel eyes were fixed on me, his lips pressed together, and then he ran a hand through his light brown hair. Wicken was the king of weird faces, so I'd seen him show just about every emotion in the book. The guy had no issues with wearing his heart on his sleeve. I didn't recognize that one, though. Whatever he was thinking or feeling was a mystery, and it threw me off. That bugged me a lot. A relief? I asked, and with so much harshness in my tone, even I wanted to win. He shrugged. Yeah. I placed my hands on my hips. Would it make you jealous or something if I was hanging out with boys and partying until all hours of the night? Nah, he laughed. I'm just glad I'm not missing out on any of the fun by getting stuck at home working two jobs full time until I can go to the university myself. You've been saying that for how long now? I snorted, get off your lazy butt and make it happen already. Meh. He said and pulled out his cell phone. I'm only 19. I have a lot of time to earn some dough. I've almost got enough for my first year. Next fall, it'll be my turn. Somehow I doubted that, but I didn't say it out loud, even if I wanted to. His quiet demeanor was uncharacteristic of him, so I might have unknowingly pissed him off. I'd never actually seen him mad before. Spending the next 7 hours with someone who was going to ice me out was not my idea of a good time. Sure, I'd get my reading done, but the agony of knowing someone hated my guts would drive me wild. So instead of chiding him some more, I nodded. You can make it happen. It was a true statement without coddling him or being too harsh to his ego. So, any good gossip that I missed out on? Nah. Seriously? Nothing? I was sworn Brittany had done something worth talking about. She's always getting in trouble doing stupid things. I flashed a smile and nudged him. Nothing? Wicken shrugged. Brittany left shortly after you did. Got fired, actually, for stealing the deformed teddy bears. You know how we're supposed to chop them up and toss them? She was given the task, burst into tears, and I kid you not, and refused to murder the innocent. I'm pretty sure those were her exact words. Well, she was working with, Peter, and he told her that stuffed animals don't have souls, so it's not really murder. I put a hand to my forehead. Something tells me she didn't take that well. You'd think he told her Santa Claus isn't real. He laughed. Anyway, so Peter, being the lovely store manager that he is, told her to go organize the blocks or something menial like that. Brittany knew he was gonna go through with the destruction of the plushies. She was smart enough to pick up on that, and so she grabbed a bag of them and ran out of the store. Hasn't been back since. Wow. I smothered a laugh with my hand. Is Peter demanding the merchandise back? Wicken shook his head. He's just taking it out of her final paycheck. There were like 5 of them in the bag. I'm kind of proud of her, to be honest. She's dumb as a brick, but she knows how to stand up for what she believes in. Anything else? No, not outside of a few hot dates, and as much as I know you love to hear about those, he said the sarcasm, and his voice was as thick as paste. I nodded. Yes, please spare my sweet virgin ears from that pain. Virgin? Still? He clapped his cheeks with his hands and gasped. College is about letting loose and experimenting. Didn't you get the memo? Groaning, I grabbed my textbook again. The conversation was going south again, and I felt no obligation to rectify it for the second time. This time, it wasn't my fault. Wiccan wasn't going to let it go, though. He poked my side, causing me to squeak like one of the baby toys in the back of the store. That caused him to break out into a fit of laughter. I forgot how ticklish you are. Don't do it again. My voice was low in what I like to call my fear of God tone. Nothing is more torturous to me than tickling. Wiccan was smart and backed off, at least. He stepped out onto the floor again and started to play around with some cars that were on display. Watching him, I understood why he worked. There was still a lot of kid left in him. He flipped a small red car in his hands a few times, examining the doors and the undercarriage. This is a pretty nice model. Accurate. Detailed. I nodded and let out a half-hearted, "That's nice." Out of nowhere, a lot of shrill female squealing happened from somewhere out in the mall. It sounded an awful lot like it was coming from the floor beneath us. My jaw tightened, and I glared at Wiccan. "There's an event today, isn't there?" "Mm-hmm," he said, still focused on the car. "Why didn't you tell me this earlier?" "It must have slipped my mind." But he had to have been lying, because his smile was far too devilish. I swear, the guy had the maturity of a 2-year-old sometimes. Making sure my glare was as angry and piercing as ever, I folded my arms in front of me and didn't stop looking at him, not even when he finally lifted his gaze off of that stupid car and looked me in the eyes. He winced. "What?" "You know what? Events are the worst. Least you could do is prepare me for the potential swarm of stupidity coming through the door. Besides, I need to know if it's worth checking out on break, too." Events at the mall were either awesome or frustrating. First, they almost always attracted bigger crowds to the mall on otherwise slow days. Sometimes this is awesome for business because, well, people will come in and buy more toys or games to play with while they wait. Other times, it made my life miserable because people came in to kill time, messed up my store for entertainment, and then left me to clean up after them. Second, if the event was worth seeing, the store had the perfect bird's eye view. All I had to do was walk out the door and peer down over the balcony at whoever was there. If there was a free concert, we always got to hear it. Sometimes there were great giveaways to enter as well. Finally, the people watching opportunities became even more great. Fangirls were hilarious when they got all worked up. I watched a preteen swoon on the stage after getting a hug from a member of some boy band. Another girl started to hyperventilate next to me, and we weren't even within spitting distance of the special celebrity of the day. I like to think of them as cultural experiences. It introduced me to a whole new world, and it was fascinating. Depending on who was there, it could make for an interesting shift. Wiccan had promised to tell me first thing if there was ever an event while we worked together. I don't know what his problem was, but he seemed to get a lot of pleasure in not keeping his word. "So?" I pressed. He shrugged. "Timber Hudson. Nothing big." Nothing big? Timber freaking Hudson was going to be in the same mall as me. Not like I'd get close to him or anything, but just the fact that we breathed the same recycled air gave me goosebumps. Of course, in front of Wiccan, I had to play it cool. The last thing I'd ever been is a crazy fan. Still, just thinking about Timber's dreamy smile and beautiful eyes made my everything all kinds of hot. Seriously, the guy had one blue eye and one green one. He was some kind of anomaly of genetic hotness, and don't even get me started on his abs. In short, Timber was the definition of walking sex, and he was going to be in my mall. "Oh," I managed to say as I tried to articulate something intelligent to tack onto that pathetic one-word statement. Wiccan nodded, grabbing a ball to play with now. "Yeah, should be a snoozer. Nothing to get away, just a bunch of heartbroken teenagers who have been here since 3 a.m. in the hopes of getting one of the lucky 5 wristbands so they can shake his hand." He flailed his arms over his head wildly, like, "Oh my God, Timber Hudson," he snorted. "I don't get what girls see in that guy. He's such a... ugh." "You say that like you have personal experience," I teased. "Just admit, you're jealous." "Ugh, Chevelle," he groaned at me. His brown eyes narrowed slightly, and he walked over to put his hands on my shoulders. "Please tell me you're not part of that group of bimbos. I thought you'd have better taste than that. Time to be a big girl." "I'm not gaga over the guy. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have to work." "But," he supplied. "But I like his movies. What can I say? I have a thing for romantic comedies. The TV show he was on for like 7 years was pretty good, too. Besides, have you seen him with his shirt off? Yum." I added that last bit to grind on his nerves even more. Wiccan is the definition of straight, so I knew it wouldn't bother. I knew it would bother him even more, but that's what he gets for telling me about all of his hot dates in full detail. There's not enough brain bleach in the world to get rid of some of the images he's left me with. He rolled his eyes, and right there, in the middle of the store, he lifted up his shirt to show his chiseled abdomen. Count them. 6. Totally not a big deal. At least I can guarantee mine are real. I didn't stare, even though I wanted to. Wiccan's a good-looking guy. There's no doubt about it. I just never realized how good-looking he was from the neck down until that moment. Weren't movie stars supposed to be the only ones with perfect bodies? Why wasn't he modeling if he was so gorgeous? That'd be a lot faster way to pay for college than working 2 minimum-wage retail jobs. I mean, Wiccan was tan, strong, and tall with broad shoulders and a shaggy dark hair streak with blonde highlights. If he didn't get around so much, I'd probably let myself lust after him more than I did. I'd never been into guys who did that, nor have I ever understood why they think it necessary. Yes, I said at last. 6, good for you. Do you want a cookie or a medal? Cookie, please. He started to shake his hips a little. Come on, admit it. They're gorgeous. I turned away just as a customer approached me with some merchandise. I quickly got behind the counter to my register and slapped on my fake smile and stupid voice. They'd snuck in without me even realizing it. Actually, there were 3 other people in the store besides me and Wiccan. Why did he have to be such a moron all the time and distract me from his stupid commentary, or with his stupid commentary and even more stupid six-pack? Hopefully, none of them heard the embarrassing exchange of words between him and me. Hi, did you find everything you were looking for today? I asked the young man carrying a fake wooden samurai sword. He couldn't have been much older than me, and he wore thick-rimmed glasses along with a bowler hat. Everything about him screamed nerd. I had to fight back giggles because Wiccan was behind him, pointing, mouthing out things like dweeb and four eyes while making funny faces. Poor guy, but he kind of asked for it by going out in public in a plaid button-down on top of everything else. Cute in a dorky kind of way. With a perfect and familiar smile, he nodded at me, and I do mean perfect. Straight white teeth, but not too straight. These had characters, so they were naturally so, not artificial, but the blinding white color was impressive. I was amazed at the confidence he carried, because that's not typical of nerds usually. I did. Thank you. I rang up the store. $22.50, please. The guy handed me exact cash and took the bag from me. He turned just as Wiccan was in the middle of a rather obscene dance. I'm talking pelvic thrusts and the works. One of his dark eyebrows raised and the smile faded. He spun around to face me again, and I thought for sure he was going to whine about it. Instead, our eyes met. I noticed his were soft blue. No green. Or were they blue? Or some kind of peculiar mix of the two? Regardless, something about his eyes was different and also familiar. He pulled out a map of the mall. My time at the mall is limited. I was wondering if you had any suggestions for short attractions worth seeing before my commitments. He spread the map out on my counter. I also want to get something that's pretty specific to the state for a souvenir, preferably something not edible. It's for my mom. I pointed to the entrance to the aquarium. This is pretty cool, and it should be quick enough you can get it done in a half an hour or less. Walking through the amusement park is always a good time, too. There's some random historical things littered throughout it, detailing some of the state's history. As for good gifts, get her a loon, Wiccan said, and threw one of the stuffed loons from the animal shelf at the guy. Of course, the customer wasn't prepared, so the loon hit me, bounced off my chest, and landed in front of me. Right as I grabbed it to hand to him, he reached out and our hands touched. I couldn't help but notice how clean he was. His nails were trimmed and nicer than mine, and wow, did he have nice skin, and it was so nice and warm, too. The touch only lingered for a second, but it will always be like 5 minutes in my memory. Finally, he picked up the plush toy. A loon? The guy looked down at the bird with a frown. State bird. And I knew Wiccan was holding back a moron, or at the very least, duh. I know, but it didn't cross my mind at all. He shrugged. Okay, the bird too. 32.24, I said after I rung the animal through as well. Again, he paid in exact cash. The first time, it didn't weird me out. The second time, it definitely did. I managed to smile all the same. Thanks for coming. Thank you for your help, he tipped his hat at me, flashed me that perfect toothy smile again, and then I noticed the one blue eye and one green eye. Don't. He does not need to see you fawn over him. Standing less than 2 feet away from me was Timber Hudson. Holy monkey paws, he touched me. I never planned to wash that hand again and I could until I could figure out how to take his DNA from it and make a clone. Don't panic. I gave one last wave and watched him walk out the store. Oh, my God, Wiccan. If you say look at his butt, Wiccan peered at me. That was, I shook my head, still in disbelief. That was Tim Hudson, OMG. Scrunching up his nose, Wiccan put a hand to my forehead. Chevelle, whatever language you're trying to speak right now, I don't understand it. English, please. I glanced around the store and then leaned in to whisper. That was Timber Hudson. It was? Wiccan tilted his head to the side and ran to peer out of the store. Are you serious? Slowly, I nodded, which took a lot more effort than it should have because I was still reminding myself that breathing was a good thing and that I wasn't one of those teenagers waiting on the main floor. Still, he touched me, I whimpered. Wiccan's groan was enough to snap me out of my funk and return the brain cells to my head. I thought you said you weren't gaga over him, he grumbled, and he pushed his way past me to go to the back room. He seemed even more annoyed than he should have been, angry even, and I didn't get why. Even if he was hypothetically jealous, what difference did it make? It's not like I would ever see Timber again. The encounter would be something for me to brag about for years to come and nothing more. Whatever, way to pop my brief bubble of happiness. It's not like it was ever going to happen again. The chances of me seeing another celebrity so close in my lifetime were about a bazillion to one. I rolled my eyes and started working on deciphering my textbook. It was pretty near impossible to understand. I'd need a miracle to pass the class at the rate I was going. Not only did I have to understand the philosophy of different Asian schools of thought, but I also had to memorize a lot of hard-to-pronounce vocabulary words. It stunk that I got put in the class to begin with, but I did need a philosophy class. Even though it was hard, anyone could take it to fulfill their credit. The girls down on the ground floor started screaming again. At first, I didn't think anything of it. Then I noticed how the screams don't sound like squeals of excitement. They were too sharp and filled with completely different emotions. Fear. What the heck? Wiccan's eyebrows shot up and he came back out from the back room. He must have noticed the noise too because he poked his head out into the mall to see what was going on. For a moment, he disappeared from my sight. And I was genuinely scared. The screams were getting more desperate, more shrill, more blood-curdling. They were also diminishing in number. Adding in the fact that other people were starting to run past the store didn't help. My first thought was, if my mother was right and this is a terrorist attack, I'm never going to hear the end of it. That was always her biggest fear with me working at the mall. She was convinced there'd be some kind of gang shooting or Al-Qaeda bombing during my shift. We had security for that sort of thing, which was now starting to go off. The alarm sounded, and I saw a couple of mall cops run past, and the words, "This is an emergency lockdown. Please enter the nearest store immediately," played from all over the speakers. Wiccan ran back in, grabbed the store keys from behind the counter, pulled in the display of battery-operated jumping dogs, and immediately started to shut the gate to the store. People didn't know how to follow instructions because nobody ran into our store. Nobody except for Timber. He slid under a 3-foot gap between the gate and the floor. With no finesse, he rolled into a few setup of dolls. Clearly, he did not do his own stunts. There was a girl standing in the stuffed animal aisle with a large purple teddy bear squeezing it tight. Her eyes went wide and she screamed. When I followed where she was looking, they settled on the tallest man I'd ever seen. In his hands, he had a gun. And that's where I'm going to stop. To be continued soon. All right, have a good day.